Proverbs 22, 6 and 15, and then we're going to flip over to Matthew, I believe it's chapter 5. So you can have your finger on it, and you may have heard these verses before from your mama. Let's pray as we go to God in worship. Lord God, we take a deep breath, and as we come to your word, knowing that these are holy scriptures, they are precious, they are good, they are the infallible word of truth and hope for people like us, and we know you've spoken them to us, and so Lord, move our hearts to the place that you would have us to prepare us to receive this word from you. It's in your name that we pray, amen. Proverbs 22, verse 6 and 15, it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it." And then 15, it says, "Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline drives it far from him." And then flipping over to Matthew chapter 3, verse 13, it's on page 808 in your pew Bible. It says this, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?' But Jesus answered him, 'Let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" This is the word of the Lord. We're easing out of the Gospel of Mark here, and next week we're going to pick up, we're going to begin Colossians, but I thought we'd take a little in-between week here and talk about Christian parenting. And I think it's going to turn out to be a little bit more than about parenting, but I thought we'd take a little break for a moment and talk about that. I know there's lots of tips and books and advice and things. You know, there's all this pressure to be the perfect parent, you know, feed our kids the right things, get them in the right programs, get them to the right colleges, they can get the perfect job, you know, on and on and on and on and on. And sometimes I think we kind of lose the forest for the trees. And this morning, sort of want to set a bigger picture for you of what it looks like to do gospel-centered parenting. And we're going to start in this scene from Jesus' baptism. Now, here's what's happened. Jesus is, we think, around 30 years old here. And he hasn't done anything yet. His ministry hasn't begun. And so he goes out to the Jordan River where John the Baptist has been baptizing people. And he says, "I want to be baptized." And, you know, John's thinking, this is crazy. This is Jesus. And this is a whole other story in and of itself. But Jesus gets baptized. And as he's being baptized, he's coming out of the water, and the scripture says the heavens were open to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." I love these passages in scripture where the Father and the Son are talking to one another in the Spirit, because it's the Trinity. The Trinity always seems so mysterious, but we're getting this sneak peek into the life of the Trinity here. And there's two things that I think are really interesting about this moment. The first is that God the Father says to God the Son, this is my beloved Son. Okay, he is screaming for everyone to hear, for all of the universe, "I love this one right here. He's mine." And then secondly, what we hear from the Father is, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I take great pleasure." So not only does the Father love the Son, but he enjoys him. He takes pleasure in him. He likes him. And I think this is a little peek And this is not a metaphor, godly parenting, right? This is God the Father to God the Son. And what he is doing here to God the Son is he is validating the Son. And I think gospel-centered parenting begins, first and foremost, before anything else, with a validation of our children. Because that is what God is doing here. And I want to take a couple minutes. I want to look at the nature of validation for a second here. Because I think biblical validation is about personhood. It's not about performance. And this is critical because when you go out in the world, you understand that most of us are out there fighting for validation based on our performance. You know, how much money do you make? How good are you at your job? How beautiful? How smart? How famous? How well-regarded? Whatever the criteria is, I mean, the world sets before us this pattern, we might call it a form of works righteousness. That is, that you have to earn this acceptance and this accolade. If you perform, then we will think you're wonderful. And it's a deathly cycle because for most of us in this works righteousness, and you see it all over our culture, it's just slavery. Because we continually have to perform in order to be viewed as valuable, in order to be validated and accepted, we have to be great at something. And we have to have other people to recognize that. Biblical validation is not about a performance, it is about the personhood. It's about the person themselves. And the difficulty, and the critical thing about why we're talking about this with parenting is, you know, if you are not validated by these parents, if you do not have that foundation, you're going to spend your whole life looking for it from somebody else. I mean, I know 70-year-olds whose parents have come and gone that are still living for that acceptance from their mother or their father. I mean, it's just absolutely critical that foundation comes to say, here is a person that I love beyond anything. And that's what we're looking at with the father and the son. Realize this with the son. He has not done anything yet. He's 30 years old. And for as much as we know, all he's done is, you know, made chairs and desks and beds. He's just been a carpenter. He hadn't even gotten married. I don't know, he might still be living with his parents. We don't know. He has not begun his ministry yet. And before it even happens, what does the father say? This is my son, my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased. The father validates the son way before the son performs anything. Biblical validation is about personhood. It's not first and foremost about performance. And I think that speaks to the other side of this, though. Because I think what we've done in this culture, I think this is an evolution, a good evolution, is we've realized how detrimental it is to take a child and to say that our acceptance of you is based on how good you are in XYZ. I think we realize that. But what we've done is, as a culture, secular or Christian, we've sort of swung to the far side and it's everybody gets a trophyism, right? And you know, and everybody gets a trophyism. What it says is you go out and perform, and you may have performed like garbage, but I'm going to tell you did great, and I'm going to accept you based on this performance. And there's two problems with everybody gets a trophyism. The first is the kids don't buy it. Nobody buys it. I remember we were taking my son, his first, very, very first, he's 4 years old, we took him to YMCA, he's playing soccer on the team, you know, they play the game, he comes over, great job, boy, you're so great, I loved everything, you know, and he says, who won the game? I said, I don't know, they didn't keep score. And that was the last time that anybody didn't keep score of those games. You've done this, right? I mean, those kids knew the score of that game every time after that. Even if the adults had decided everybody gets a trophy, kids weren't buying it. And they know it's shallow. They know it's hollow. They know it's a bunch of baloney. And the second problem with it is, it's just a reaction to this sort of performance-based works righteousness validation. I mean, it's just sort of, you know, on the works righteousness licentiousness scale, it's just sort of the other side of it. And that is that, you know, whatever you performed and did, we think is wonderful, whether it was or it wasn't, it's still a validation that is based on my performance. And when we're looking at biblical parenting, when we're talking about validation, it's a step deeper than that. What we're talking about is not what you did and how you did it, whether it was great or whether it was bad. We're talking about you, my child, the person yourself. I love you. I am well pleased with you before anything else. And it's such a critical part. It's not based on your performance. It's based on your personhood. And the truth is, without a proper validation, what you end up with most people is either a coward or a madman. You know, when you're missing that sort of core sense that you're accepted and you're loved, most of the time you get a coward. That is somebody who, they're paralyzed. They can't engage the world. They don't know how to go out and do it. The other side is they're so scared that if they do something and they mess up, that what's going to happen is going to reflect on this deep part of them that's shaky and they don't know is true in and of itself. The other side is they become incredibly dangerous because they're a person who is fighting for respect constantly. You know, you think about the neighborhoods that surround this church. You think about what's happening in there. I can guarantee you, because we live with these people and work with them all the time. Most of the time what's happening in our neighborhoods is you're looking at children who don't live in homes with a mother and a father, and therefore they don't receive that sort of deep validation and acceptance of their personhood. And so here's what they do. Lots of times they look for the first person that will tell them they're okay. You know, we can talk about gangs if you want. That's what a gang does in its most basic sense. But then what they also do is it's always a fight to gain respect. I mean, you turn on the TV and you watch, you know, everything is about respect. You disrespect me. And it's a fight because what's happened is nobody has given them that core sense that they're accepted. And so they're out there fighting for it all the time. If you don't have that validation, here's the truth, you're going to look for it from somewhere or for someone. And you know this as parents. I think about the fact that my daughters all the time, if I look at my daughters, if my daughters don't know that I think they are wonderful and beautiful and fully accepted and valuable to me, they are going to listen to the first bozo that tells them such a thing. I mean, that is my job, and the same with my son, by the way. It's no different. We have a crisis of masculinity among our boys because nobody has told them that they're accepted and they're men now. This is this critical role that validation plays. I mean, you notice Jesus Christ, I know this seems crazy, he gets this validation, and I think this validation from the Father is what spurs him in to ministry. I mean, Jesus makes a lot of people mad. He is not always well regarded. In fact, I think this moment of validation, when you look at the devil and the temptation that comes right after it, Jesus resists the temptation of the devil because he has this sense that my Father loves me and has something different for me. This is what's happening in Christian parenting. As we validate our children, they're able to resist the false validators that come along and that want to lead them astray. And so what we do is we say, I love you, I accept you and who you are before your performance, and no matter what you do, you're mine. It's what God the Father does to God the Son. There's another part of this. And that is that we don't just tell our children, I love you, you're wonderful, whatever you do doesn't matter. That's baloney. When you read in the scripture, you heard what it said, folly is bound up in the heart of a child. Don't trust your children. They're not wise. They're not supposed to be. They don't know which way to go. And so if you just say, I love you, do whatever you want, it's going to end up in folly. Scripture says, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know what discipline really is? It's not punishment, it's discipleship. And discipleship, a lot of that, what we're talking about here is it's vision casting. It's training a child up and saying, this is the way you're going to go. And you're not going to depart from it. And I'm going to discipline and disciple you right into this thing. So I think about, you know, we have chores and you all have grown, you know, you all did all this stuff. And it's a lot of effort to get them to do these dumb chores all the time, right? The dishes. I could do the dishes a lot faster than I can get my kids to do the dishes. And they do it wrong every time. But guess what? It's not about doing the dishes. You know this. It's about training up a child to say, you are not going to be a self-centered slob when you grow up. You're not, you know, my beloved son, you're not going to be married to a woman one day and sleep on the couch all the time while she does everything else. That's not my vision for you. You're better than that. And so I'm training you into that right now. I am casting that vision and we are stepping into it and I'm going to reinforce it, I'm going to repeat it, and I'm going to disciple you into it so that we, and here's the truth, two things about that, the way this validation and vision work is, first of all, there is no giving vision without validation. I have lots of people that try to give me advice all the time. You know, lots of people come along and tell me, you should do this, you should do that. It goes in one ear, out the other, because they haven't invested anything. They haven't earned the right to be heard. See, the vision comes as you validate. The more you have built in, the more there is this room to hear. But as well for the child, there's this point where the validation becomes the point where they can step into the vision. If a child doesn't know that they are loved and cared about, they can't step out and risk things in the world. They can't live into that big, bold vision. They don't know if they're okay. You know, I'm guessing that Jesus Christ didn't just step up into the world and begin to make up everything he was going to be doing. The course was set for him from all eternity. The Father said, you are going to the cross. And so as the devil comes along and says, why don't you go this way instead of that way? Jesus Christ knows, I've been validated and I've been given a vision by God my Father, and I'm not turning back. And I think one of the problems that we have when it comes to this vision, it sounds great, doesn't it? Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And you think in your head as a parent all the time, I have all these thoughts and plans and hopes. But here's the truth. I'm guessing. Your children don't know that. You know, here's a little test for you who have parents and who are parents. And even if you have older children, this would be a great thing to do. Ask your children what they think your vision for them is for their life. Like what, you know, ask them, what do you think I want and expect you to be in 20 years? What is it that I want from you? Here's what I'm guessing they're going to say to you, especially if they're still in your house. They're going to say, your vision for me is probably that I would get good grades. You know why they think that's first on the list? Because that's what we repeat and reinforce and hold accountable to again and again and again. It's not a bad thing. Just that's going to be the main one. You're going to get good grades. And the second thing is you're not going to mess up. You know, they begin to leave the house. And what do we say to them? Where are you going? What are you going to do? Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't go here. Don't go there, right? So what's the vision? The vision that their kids have is, okay, I want you to get good grades and to not screw up. That's not vision. That's weak. You know, as people who know Jesus, there's a lot bigger picture going on. It's even bigger than I want you to grow up and get a good job and make a lot of money. Oh my goodness, as a parent, you know this. You have a much bigger vision for your children than this. You know, I think about, okay, what is the number one thing that I want for my children in 20, 30, 40 years? I want them to boldly follow Jesus Christ, right? If they boldly follow Jesus Christ, I figure the rest will work itself out. That's number one. But do my children know that? Do I repeat it as much as I repeat get good grades? No, and I'm the pastor. So I'm guessing if I'm not doing it, you're probably not doing it. Maybe you're better than me. I don't know. I think about family. I think about casting a vision for them for family. If you ask me, what's the next to Jesus, what's the next most important thing in life? It's family. Do I talk about their being, their behavior as much as I cast a vision for who they're going to marry and how they're going to be committed to their family? Do I talk about what great marriages? I mean, can you think of anything singularly more important in life than the person that you're going to marry? I mean, it affects everything, and we cast zero vision about it. You think to yourself, how am I going to talk to a 12-year-old about this? This is going to be inappropriate. But they're going to grow up and leave your house. And at 25 or 30, they're going to get married, and they're not going to be listening to you at that point. They're going to be gone. So you have to start early. These things just start to repeat and reinforce. You know, think about their careers. You know, there's a big, beautiful world out there full of lots of things to do for the glory of God. What you're not going to do is be a slob. You're not going to lack excellency. You're going to pursue it for Christ. I think about the type of people they're going to be casting a vision for them. I have one of my daughters who's especially sensitive. And it frustrates me a lot because I have none of that in me. And I don't understand it. And I find myself very often trying to beat the sensitive out of her. You know, don't be like that. You know, don't be so sensitive about everything. Here's a different vision, though. What if God has made you that way? And I can place something on your heart to say, this is how you could use that for the glory of God. I mean, goodness gracious, every day I wake up, I could use some sensitivity. It would bless you. What if I cast a vision for how that could be? What if I was creative and imaginative about those things? I think part of the problem is we may have it in our heads, but we don't know how to say it to them. There's got to be a fearless intentionality for which we pursue our kids. And that is, it doesn't happen by osmosis. It happens by intentionality. And it happens by being fearless and stepping in. I know sometimes there's this thought in my head of like, if I say this, they're going to roll their eyes, and they're going to write me off. And they do that a lot. Who cares? It doesn't matter if they like you. That's not the goal of parenting, is to have your kids like you, right? We're in here reinforcing this as a church together. And you know what? Their hearts are yearning. And it doesn't matter how, if you've got adult children, they are yearning to hear your validation and vision from you. They're dying for it. As Christian parents, we're being called into this idea of vision and validation. But here's the other side of this. I'm talking parenting. But I think this is about more than parenting. I think what we're talking about here is just sort of a basic model of discipleship. What it means to lead people in Christ. I was thinking this week, you know, it's post-Christmas and all the bills are arriving and, you know, money flies away at constant, fast paces all the time. And, you know, there's more and more needs. And I was telling, I was thinking to myself, I don't know what I'm doing. Like, am I doing this right? Is this going, I mean, am I messing these kids up? Like, should I be doing something else? And then, you know, God is always so gracious. He always sends a white-haired man into my life. And it usually takes some white hair at my stage. And I was talking to a man in this church, and I love this. He says to me, because he doesn't start with a speech about advice, right? He goes right to the point. He says, I was saying something, I made a brief comment like that, and he said, you know what? I know where you are, and I've been there. And this is a guy who's walked it well, and he says, I've been there, and I know what it's like. You got all these kids, all these jobs, and you got all these requirements. And he's like, I know it's a lot. And then he says to me, but you're doing all right. And I thought, if he says I'm doing all right, I must be doing all right, you know? How do I know? I've never done this before. And then he does this beautiful thing. He says, I believe in you, and you're going to do it. You're going to do it well. And I thought to myself, you know, when he said, I believe in you, that was that moment of validation, right? That was that moment of like, it wasn't about performance. It was like, you can do this. You're going to do this. And then he told me I was going to do it. That's vision casting, right? You're walking the right road. This is the road you're supposed to be on, and you're going to keep plowing down it, and you can do it. And it changes it. I mean, I bet if you walked up to somebody this week who is behind you in the faith, and it doesn't have to be much younger or much older, and I bet if you listened for a minute into their life, I bet there would be the chance to say to them, I believe in you, and you can do it, and you have no idea the power of those words. You have no idea the power that it is to validate and to cast vision for somebody and in a very simple and small way. It's not just simply parenting. It's discipleship. And you're called into those places with people. All right, let me close with this. Because it's discipleship, it's mission, but it's also the gospel. The beauty of the gospel is that God your Father is your great validator. He is your great vision caster. Think of Galatians 4. And Paul says, but in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoptions as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And this is you. If a son, then you are an heir through God. Here's the gospel. God loved you so much that he died for you in order to bestow upon you the title of son and daughter. If you have no idea the beauty and the enormity of that title, step into Jesus Christ. You're an orphan otherwise. Because what it means to be a son or a daughter of God is that when God says, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased, those words spoken to Jesus are words spoken to you. You are Christ's brother. You are a son as he is a son. And the beauty of that is, we could start the stories if we wanted. We go up and down the aisles and begin talking about our parents and how they didn't do this and they didn't do that. You know, like I tell my kids, you know, cry to your therapist about it one day. I didn't do it right, you know. And we can all name the ways that they didn't validate us, they didn't, but here's the truth. And it might be more serious than a laughing matter. I mean, your mom or dad might not have been there. Jesus Christ, God the Father, is your great validator. And your heart was made to have his acceptance. Even if your parents did these things, let me let you in on it as one whose parents did. It's not enough. The perfect Father is God. And he is the one you're designed to hear the well done. I love you. I'm pleased with you. And anything less than that will never be acceptable to you. And God is your vision giver. You know, God says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you. Plans to give you hope and a future. I mean, I think about it all the time. I don't know what my kids are supposed to do or where they're supposed to go. I mean, some of you are trying to figure out where to go to college. Your parents might act like they know where to go. They don't know where you should go to college. It's just a guess at best. God the Father knows. He's omnipotent. He has wisdom. He cares. He has righteousness. He sets the path before you. Miss parents, sometimes our motives are more, you know, we want to monetize your college career more than we do to bless it for the kingdom of God. God, your Father, doesn't do that. He sets a vision and a course for your life. And I can testify that he's done it. My mom and dad never would have said, marry this person. God did. And he was right. You know, my mom and dad never would have had the gumption, and they shouldn't have, to say, go do this for a living. But God does, and he's right. I mean, God, your Father, cast the vision. He has a plan, and he is your validator. Let's pray.